All right, folks, we're back on The Takeaway with another story from our Case in Point series, a look at the criminal justice system and the parts of it that are broken or strange or really just beyond belief. 41 years ago, an all-white jury convicted Johnny Lee Gates, an intellectually disabled black man, for the murder of a white woman in Georgia.
Police and prosecutors initially had a lead that went in another direction, but they ultimately settled on Johnny Lee Gates. There was a confession, which was videotaped, which was rare for the time. He says, his lawyers say, then and now, that it was a forced confession. It was a flawed confession. But nevertheless, the police basically said that he had done it. There was a sexual assault that was involved. And so it took a all-white jury, basically an hour or so, to come back with a conviction, and then even less time to come back with a death sentence.
A Supreme Court decision in 2002 spared Johnny Lee Gates the death penalty, and a recent Supreme Court ruling about racial prejudice during jury selection has had his attorneys fighting for a new trial and possibly an exoneration. Andrew Cohen is a senior editor at the Marshall Project, and he's got the story.
This was a crime that had to do with heating and an oil company. There was a problem with the victim's heater. She had called the gas company, and then apparently this perpetrator, the murderer, shows up, and he's not dressed as a gas company employee, and all of a sudden he's led into the house. So there was an eyewitness who basically said that she saw a black man leaving the premises. The description didn't really fit Johnny Lee Gates, but it was a testimony. And then there was a fingerprint that prosecutors brought into the case later on. And one of the mysteries of this case is when the fingerprint got onto the crime scene. Initially, the police checked the crime scene, and there was no fingerprint of Johnny Lee Gates. There was no physical link to him at the crime scene. But then he went to the crime scene with the police when they taped that confession and essentially traipsed through the crime scene. And then afterward, at trial, all of a sudden, there was this fingerprint. Now, defense attorneys suggest that maybe he touched something when he came in with the police after he was a suspect, and that was used against him in the crime to say that he had been in the apartment at the time of the crime.
And initially he was sentenced to death, but that ended up changing. What was it that helped that process along?
Sure. He was sentenced to death very quickly. It was just around the time that Georgia renewed its death penalty. Remember, there was a couple of years stretch there in the mid-1970s where the death penalty was unconstitutional everywhere. The death penalty came back to Georgia, and Johnny Lee Gates was sentenced to death, but then was around long enough for the U.S. Supreme Court to essentially rescue him. 2002, the U.S. Supreme Court in a Virginia case said that states could not execute the intellectually disabled. And there had been evidence all through the case of Johnny Lee Gates' intellectual disabilities. And so about 15 years ago, his new lawyers at the time, were able to get a hearing with the new Supreme Court precedent and convince prosecutors that they were going to lose if they took the case back to trial. And so Johnny Lee Gates' death penalty became a life without parole sentence, which is what he's serving today.
In the 1970s, when this verdict came down, was there any, or since then, has there been any attention paid to the fact that there was a lack of physical evidence, that Johnny Lee Gates was, you know, had lower mental capacity, that the confession perhaps could have been coerced, that eyewitness testimony isn't always accurate? All of these things we think about today, has any of that come up since?
Yeah, I mean, all of it's come up to a certain extent. What's new here is the another Supreme Court decision. Just a few years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court, in another case out of Georgia, overturned a conviction that was based on racial prejudice during jury selection of the trial, where white prosecutors in a case involving a black murder defendant and a white victim essentially made sure to strike from the jury pool all black potential jurors for one reason or another. And the justifications given for those strikes were not sufficient to the U.S. Supreme Court. When that ruling came down a couple of years ago, the lawyers in this case, the Gates case, said, wait a minute, this Supreme Court decision may have some relevance in our case. It was about the same time. At least one of the prosecutors was involved in both instances. In our case, the Johnny Lee Gates case, we have a black defendant, a white a victim, a white prosecutor, and an all-white jury. And so they were able, through a series of legal filings and over the challenge of Georgia attorneys to get access to these notes, notes from the Johnny Lee Gates murder trial made by prosecutors. And the defense says that the notes show the same sort of bias, prejudice, racism, if you will, that was evident in that other case that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned. So the mission for the judge now in Georgia is to decide, yes, whether the similarities are the same so that this case falls into the Supreme Court precedent, the new precedent. And if it does, then it's quite likely that Johnny Lee Gates will at least get a new trial. And given the other problems with some of the other evidence, he may not get a new trial at all. Prosecutors may relent and say, you know what, this is enough. We're not going to win a new murder trial here. We're just going to basically let him go.
And where do we expect the case to go from here? You said we're not sure if we're going to have a new trial or not. Or, I mean, is there the potential for Johnny Lee Gates to be freed?
Yeah, I think there's the potential for there to be a new trial. It's going to depend on what his current judge thinks about the evidence, thinks about those notes from the jury selection long ago, thinks about whether there's a pattern here of prejudice that the U.S. Supreme Court says is unconstitutional and can't be allowed. And it's fascinating for another reason. The same judge that helped ensure that Johnny Lee Gates would get off of death row, the same judge who was leaning towards finding him intellectually disabled 15 years ago, is the judge who is presiding now. So we know that this is a judge in Georgia who is willing to buck up against what the prosecutors want and what state attorneys want. And what they're saying, what Georgia's saying essentially, is that the notes, whatever else they say, don't show the sort of pattern that the Supreme Court has in mind in these racial jury selection cases. And even if it does, Gates didn't raise the argument quickly enough, wasn't diligent enough in trying to get to the bottom of what happened during his jury selection, and that basically bars him from making the argument now.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for being with us today. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Andrew Cohen is senior editor at the Marshall Project. The Takeaway will be right back. Want to bring us with you on the go? Subscribe to The Takeaway as a podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.